This is the GGC Life podcast.
So good to see you guys. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, but I feel like I've been gone for half a year. Before we begin to share, I want to invite up the ministry team, people that I spoke to before. Could you come up, please? And as they're coming up, I'd love at least, and you as well, Lucy, that would be amazing. To those that are hiding, I can see you from here. And if I'd love to hear two testimonies. So as the ministry team come up, and as they're prophesying, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, something that you would like to celebrate that the Lord did in your life this last week, this morning, even this year, something that would bring glory to Him as we're gathered together, as we're just ministering for a little bit, I'd like two of you to just come to the side, and you can share with me what testimony that is, and if it's appropriate, we can share it. So this is family. I know I was just thinking about it as we're sitting down. You know, all the seats are pointing this way, the stage is pointing that way, and it can easily paint the picture in our minds that we're just here as a spectator sport. We're going to get our short fill up, you know, our 18-minute Christian TED Talk, and then we're going to go on for the week and return. But this is actually a family. The body of Christ is an organic unit, bonded together by the blood of Jesus and His Spirit. So it's important to celebrate and to give honor. And you know what the Lord does for one person, He does for another. And in family, we share our victories, our highs and our lows. So if you have something to celebrate, I've already got one person, I'd love one more. And the team is just going to step into some prophetic ministry, maybe some personal encouragement, and we're going to see what the Lord does. Is that okay? Yes. Very good. You know, in Kenya, where I was just at, the culture is... Amazing, hallelujah, or whatever it is. And this is an engagement. And I loved it because it was holistic wherever we went. If it was finishing a car drive, they would just pause for a second and just say, hey, let's just thank God for that. Like, life is a privilege. Say, you know, protection is a privilege. Going from destination, the vehicle, it's such a culture of thanksgiving and gratitude. Amen? So we'll start with Zena.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you because a few weeks ago the Lord spoke to me about GGC, our church, our home, this house, and He said that we are. And I hope you cheer for this because Jesus is so kind. He said that He sees our church as an unstoppable church. An unstoppable church. Thank you, Lord. So good, right? So good. So prior to that, I had a word about doors opening and angels pushing the doors open. And doors, one of the symbolism for doors, one of them is that it's unstoppable. The unstoppable work of God, which is great. And then the Lord said to me, you know, I don't like to use the word confront, but He confronted me and He said, do you believe, Zena, that GGC, the house that you are planted in, is my unstoppable church? I said, yes, Lord, I do. Then He says, in that case, I'm going to give you three keys. So I'm going to give them to you because they're for us. And they all begin with the letter S. The first one He said was, we all need to stand on truth, the truth of the word that is in Jesus. That's number one. Number two is, we need to surrender to Him every day, whatever that looks like to you. And Holy Spirit speaks to you, surrender to Him every day. And the last one is sing. Worship Him all the time. Thank you, Jesus. What a great word for us, hey? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just saw two words or two things that were potentially problematic in people's lives. The first one was stress fracture or stress fractures, and the second one was migraine headaches. These were physical things that were happening. There was pain in the ankle or the leg where there was continuous pounding or jumping, just causing some slight fractures in bones there that were causing pain. And migraine here, it's just a band around the head. But the Lord also was saying that they're not just physical manifestations, but these fractures are happening in the soul area as well. There's so much kind of pressure on particular people's lives in this moment, whether it's career, family, our relationships. There's actually a fracture happening in your soul, or a potential fracture, not an actual fracture, but I felt the Lord saying there's a potential fracture in your mental health and even in your personality, splitting, and there's some kind of concern about what's going on because of the pressure in your lives. The Lord really wants to release power and healing to break that stress, and some of it is spiritual as well, coming upon your life and bringing a peace so that you can be whole and one, not fractured in any way, spirit, soul, or body. With the migraine headaches, there was a physical band around your head, but the Lord said it's spiritual warfare, that God is taking you into a new level, a new realm, and there's quite a bit of opposition spiritually against you. You're picking it up in your physical body with a band, with a headache, but I believe the Lord wants to just break that power of the enemy and really accelerate you into this next level of dunamis and this next level of promotion in the spirit. And even areas where God is wanting to use you as an influence in the workplace. So we're asking God to really move in your lives, to break off the power of the enemy, release peace into your life and a wholeness into your body, and if you can really just accelerate in those places that God wants you to go. Amen.
So if that's anyone here, if there's anyone, this is family, right? So don't be ashamed or feel weird about like responding to a word, because we all go through things in life. If it isn't you today, there'll be something you'll face another day and experience Jesus as victor. So if there's someone in here that is resonating with any part of that word, if it's stress fractures, lower leg repetitive injuries, or experiencing chronic migraines, or even a fracture in just relationships, like really close circles as of recent, please stand up. We'd like to pray for you as a body. Amazing. So what we're going to do, those that are closest to you are just going to reach out, and if it's okay with you, lay hands and pray, if not from afar, but just gather around people that are standing, and we're going to begin to gather around this family, because when a word is shared, Jesus wants to bring breakthrough, and so Mark is just going to lead us as we step into this word.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, for you wanted to do this before the meeting even began, Lord. You wanted to heal. You wanted to deliver. You wanted to set captives free, Lord. You wanted to restore. So we thank you that you come right now with power and break every demonic strategy and assignment against each life, against their soul, against their spirit, against their body right now. We rebuke the enemy. We rebuke pain right now in the name of Jesus. Go, leave these bodies. We rebuke every mental anguish and turmoil that's happening. It's splitting personalities or potentially splitting. We rebuke that spirit of trauma and that spirit of fear, and that spirit of insanity. In Jesus' name, we break you. Go, leave this place. Leave these people's minds, bodies, souls, and spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Come right now and bring wholeness, beautiful healing and wholeness, and release a river, a flood of peace right now into each mind, each soul, and each body. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus, thank you for peace over every mind, every body, and family. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Does anyone who just stood for prayer, can you put your hand up if you're experiencing either a difference or maybe an increase in peace? You felt the peace of God overwhelm you. Is that anyone who just experienced prayer? Amazing. Look at that. Look at that. You know, there are some things we have to get checks and verify and other problems, but His spirit is tangible. because salvation is tangible. It's a work of the Spirit. And see, it's beautiful when we come with the gifts of the Spirit, the body is edified together. The Bible says that we each come with a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. To each is given a gifting to minister to the family. Incredible. Amazing.
Yes, I have a similar word actually. It's in Psalm 84 said, the righteousness and peace met and kiss. And the Lord was, when he was praying, the Lord said, show me, a lot of people have a lot of pressure in their work and home. And when we carry the peace, doesn't mean you don't go through things. It's actually, you can go through a very hard moment, but then the peace come and make you so drunk in the presence of God, you cannot even feel what you're going through. But the word powerful the Lord told me to release is love. He said he loved the world so much, he gave his only son. He loved the world so much, and we are the body. We are supposed to be filled with this love and contagious people with this love. You know, this love doesn't need to talk sometimes. And the love is so beautiful because we are light. And light, when you turn the light on, the light doesn't talk. And one thing is, whatever you enter with this love. The word the Lord say, it is release the love over my house. Release the love over my people. Whatever you enter, you can shift the atmosphere with the love of God through the windows of your eyes. And you can light up all the place. And I pray the prayer over you today. Whatever you went today, you went with such a love, would be so contagious. People are going to ask, what do you have? And say, I have this love. He said he loved the world so much, he gave his only son. And Jesus said, the miracle you've done, you're going to do. Go with this love. Let this love contagious people in your work, in your home. Sometimes you don't need to talk. You want, you touch of your hand. You release something in people's lives. Can I pray over you this today? Father, I pray as you leave this place, one touch, because it's not us touch. It's this abundant love will flow over us to people. And Father, those who lost, they don't know where to go. They don't know who to seek. As we touch them, they feel this love will flow over us. And they start to begin, ask, where does this love come from? And you can tell them, Lord, this love come from you. This love come from your son. Because love bring you freedom. Because Jesus loved the world so much, he gave us life. Father, give us to go and give life to people through you, Father. As we touch people, we see freedom. We see restoration, Father. Father, release this love, this powerful love. Give us life and life abundantly. In Jesus' name.
I saw a picture that I believe is for the whole church. And I saw you, Leo, riding on a horse holding up a purple flag. And the purple, I feel like, is just like a royalty and just like riding us as our leader into victory. And I just saw like the whole church as like we are the army of God. We are like following step by step behind Leo as he leads us into, the battle that is ahead of us. And like we all have a royal identity, so stepping into that royal identity, knowing that we have the identity of Christ, we have, all of us have the authority and the power of Jesus within us, so just like stepping front forward in that. And I also just saw like the armor of God, it's all like on the front, there's nothing on our backs, to be front footed, to step forward in battle. Yeah.
Is the 8th of May a significant date for anyone? Perhaps a birthday or an anniversary? If so, do you want to stand up? The 8th of May? No, that's okay. Or is that a stand up at the back? Beautiful, beautiful. Awesome. Well, what was your daughter's name?
Erin. Erin?
Beautiful. Well, I feel like God wanted to encourage your daughter today about that the blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is enough for her life, and any pain that she is experiencing, he knows pain, he knows all of that. He took it to the cross, and his blood is enough for her. I feel like he's inviting her into a deeper revelation of his sacrificial love and of the power of his sacrificial love. So, Lord, we just declare your love over Erin. We declare the power of your blood over Erin's life. We thank you for your great plans for her, and we just declare your salvation, Jesus, over her life. Fill her with your love today and with deeper encounters with your love today. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. I got a couple of quick words of knowledge. The first one, which I'd love to kick off with, is has anyone last night, and I got a few things to qualify it, who has had a seltzer? If you don't know what a seltzer is, don't worry about it. But last night, someone in this room that's had a seltzer, don't be, it's okay if you've had a seltzer. Is there anyone in this room?
Like a drink.
No one.
Like a drink.
No one in this room.
A beer.
Wow. A seltzer.
Seltzer is a beer?
It's like a fizzy, like low-calorie flavored drink. No one in this room. Does anyone like seltzers in this room then? Let's go with that. You do. Okay. Now, I can't see because of the light. Do you have... I wrote down golden hair. Are you blonde? You look blonde from here. Are you blonde? Can you stand for me? Do you mind? I feel the Lord's highlighting you. Now, can I ask... You don't happen to be. If not, that's okay. But a musician, by any chance, or like music a lot? You particularly like music? For the Lord highlighting you, saying he's calling you to... and I don't know your... I don't know you. Is that right? Yeah, I don't know you. There's a deep intimacy that the Father's highlighted you this morning. And he's saying, I adore you, I love you, and I'm calling you into a place where I see you, and I feel the Lord highlighting you. And it's not to embarrass you right now in front of everyone, but he's saying, I see who you are. I've seen the journey and the years that you've gone through. I see where you're positioned right now. And I feel the Father saying that, I desire, I long. Yeah, I feel the Lord saying, I think about you all day. I long to be with you. And there's a precious intimacy that the Father is saying, I long to be with you. And there's this music element that I feel there's there, and music's a beautiful thing because it's a heart of worship. And I feel the Lord saying that you're going to encounter the Lord through worship, through music, and you're going to see his heart through song. And as these words come from your mouth and as you sing these praises to him, you're going to see for yourself your heart be open. You're going to be like, wow, I see God. Your eyes, like what feels like might be scales, are going to like just fall off. And you're going to see the Lord wherever you go. You're just going to be aware of him. And I believe that it did it. It starts there. And I feel right now, the Lord's saying, I'm calling you now to come into the secret place. Come away with me. But I feel the Lord saying that as you go into that place, I'm going to anoint you to bring others into that place. And there's going to be a grace on your life. And it might not be right now. It might be for years to come. But I feel the Lord saying, I'm going to bring you into a place that you're going to draw others, other young. I saw young teens. I saw teenagers. And I saw like young adults. And bringing them into this place of knowing the Father and having this just, yeah, open relationship. So can we all extend our hands to, what was your name?
Olivia.
Olivia. Let's extend our hands to Olivia. Yeah, the Lord's highlighting you. Father, we thank you for Olivia, Lord. We ask that you bless her. You pour your love upon her. Lord, consecrate her. You've marked her this morning. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to purify her, open her heart to see you in a deep way. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence that washes over us, that makes us new. Fill Olivia this morning. Precious Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Bless you.
Amen. We have two amazing testimonies from Leon and Chantel. And Chantel, I'm so glad you came forward because God highlighted you to me, actually. And so I see God give you an upgrade in all of your talents, like refining each and every talent like a golden arrow. And I see each arrow that you release hit the bullseye. And I see God move through you radical healing in the physical in the soul realm and in the spirit realm. And I see God using your testimony of love and your words to go all around Australia. I see you loving the wayward travelers. I see you speaking into the indigenous populations. I see him prepare tabernacles for you as you travel around Australia to share the fire of God. And I believe that those who get around you will not be lukewarm. They'll experience the fire of God. Amen. Praise God. And Chantel has a really cool testimony. Maybe like 30 seconds or so, both of you guys, if you want to share what happened.
Yes, okay. I'll keep this as brief as I can because I was just praying for Jesus to come through my words. So I was at Manly Beach a couple of, maybe about 6-8 weeks ago, and I went into the water at Manly. And as prior to going into that water, I need to share this part with you guys, is I was raised as a Catholic, unconsciously in a very atheist style family. It was just traditional works. And it was taboo to talk about anything other than Easter bunnies and Santa. And I tried to acknowledge anything spiritual within my household, and I was rejected my entire life. In fact, I actually had a dark experience, and I also wanted to ask my father about it. And that just made me realize in that dark experience that I realized that there was something deeper than the flesh happening in this world. And I had to go on my own path to figure that out. And it led me to the New Age spirituality. It made me realize that I had the power to do whatever it was that I wanted. And then I realized very, very quickly that that was a very dark path. It came with lots of ups and came with lots of downs. And I asked my husband, who I met through manifestation, and I'm so grateful that my heart was always on a pure side naturally, because I feel a lot. I'm in a service-based industry with lots of women in hairdressing, and I have been basically trying really hard to always follow my heart and do the right thing morally. And in all of this, I found my husband, who has been raised with the Bible. And I asked him one day after being married for our first year, now it's time to open that up so that I can learn the law of the spiritual realm. And in opening it, it reinvigorated his mind and heart into the Lord and into the law of the Lord and Jesus Christ. And through this experience, we went on a deep repentance and a 2-week fast prior to the baptism. And I was separating from my family deeply. And that caused me to pray immensely to be able to be reunited with them and give. And Jesus smashed their door down just as much as mine. And literally, my husband, just before we got in the water, tested God and Jesus and said, baby, you know, because I was born without a sense of smell. In fact, I was born premier. I had an operation when I was born and another one when I was 11. And the doctors all said, you can't cure a sight and you can't cure a smell. So I was that girl that went into the water. And my husband, just before going in, he said, baby girl, he goes, maybe if I pray for your sense of smell, it'll be a testimony to your mother, your father, to come closer to you and believe that this is not cuckoo. And I looked at him and I went, oh, okay, let's just go in the water. And I just went in the water and I had a normal, got in there. I didn't think too much of it. I looked at the lady who was taking me on. I went in the water, came out. I came out of the water. I was still like, yay. And then I did my little speech. And then from there, my husband was doing his little speech. And then it all came upon me, and that's when I realized I was smelling the lady's perfume. And Jesus healed me.
Jesus! Thank you, Chantel.
Wow. Precious. I love taking time in our, you know, we have our routine and schedules, and we do honor time and structure as well, but for the body to be able to minister to the body, to see through the power of testimony that Jesus is alive and able to bring peace where there was destruction, to bring peace where there was unrest, to bring healing where there was brokenness, and to restore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Means let it be. Let it be. It's a privilege to be back with you guys. I spent a bit of time in the U.S. and then flew to Kenya with a Bethel short-term ministry team for a trip, and it was absolutely incredible. We partnered with an organization called Heroes of the Nations, and they're a ministry and also a school. They house up close to 400 kids, and through sponsorships, and most of them are either orphans or come from heavily abused backgrounds or where things aren't okay at home. You know, if both parents aren't there and the environment is, you know, destructive or not conducive for peace in that child growing up. And so we partnered with them, and it was incredible. Day to day, every day we got to experience something different. We went house to house evangelism. We did practical manual labor. We dug toilets. I remember one of the days, almost in like the middle of nowhere in the smoldering hot heat of the day, with these really small makeshift pits, picks. We dug this toilet that's probably a foot higher than I am tall, and probably as wide as I am tall, as like a drop toilet. But praise God, I managed to avoid using any of those drop toilets. When I had the opportunity, I held it or ate less. Some people had some really interesting experiences. And thank you guys for those that were praying and partnering. I had an incredible just experience with health. Was able just to go the whole time consistently. And we felt covered as a team. Some of the incredible things that we got to see and do there. So it was house-to-house visits. We joined social workers and went to houses to check on the welfare of families, and while we were there, to share the gospel, to encourage. I remember one of the days we were partnered with a social worker from the organization, and I had thought, because the ministry and the school, they're spirit-filled. They take care of the children's physical needs, soul needs, and spiritual needs. And I thought, everyone here is on fire, you know, they're in the river. They know how everything works. And on our first visit for the day, I just had like a word of knowledge. I saw a lady with four children, and her name begins with M and something else. And I said to the social worker, "Oh, I'm seeing the lady with four kids, and her name begins with the letter M." And she starts looking around. She's like, "Oh, where is she?" Because we were out doing the visits. And I had realized that they were unaccustomed to the gifts of the Spirit. That even as a social worker, seeing the, you know, she believed in Christ, knew of Him, saw His works, but also seeing the depravity, the poverty, the heartbreak going house to house, it could have come at a time where her heart had been discouraged to seeing miracles. The God who can still do them in the midst of that situation. And so that was the first thing. So the next house we got to, the lady's name is Miriam. She has four kids. She's freaking out. She's like, "John, Miriam, four kids." Like, "I know." And we had an incredible time praying for that family. We saw healing in that household. We shared the gospel, though they weren't ready to make that step, that commitment for Jesus. But as we continued on, one of the other ladies we met that day, she'd been in a car accident, had spinal pain for 10 years, and had a loss of feeling in her leg. And so we were praying for her. We prayed for her back numerous times. And she said, "Wow, the pain, you know, from my back is gone," right? And then we like, "Well, if what Jesus did for your back, He can do it for your leg." So we begin praying for feeling to be restored in her leg. First time, we all prayed, nothing. Tested out, nothing. Second time, we all prayed, tested out, nothing. Third time, we prayed, tested out, nothing. Fourth time, we prayed, tested out, nothing. I was convinced, though. I'm like, He's shown His kindness here, and He is healer, and He is present. I'm like, you know what? What would it hurt? Who is to lose if we stand on the word of God one more time and declare healing over this lady? We prayed the fifth time. She's like, "Oh, I can kind of feel my leg a bit." I'm like, "Really? You want to get up and test it?" So she gets up, takes a few steps. I was like, "Do you need that crutch anymore?" She's like, "No." She puts it aside. We take her hand. We start walking through the line of houses there. So I still don't know the context that this social worker that is with us hasn't experienced miracles, hasn't seen the goodness of God manifest like this. So as the lady is gone without the crutch, we moved to the next house to share the testimony of what had happened, share the gospel, and pray and prophesy over them. And the social worker's gone off with this person and is like freaked out because one of her friends has arrived and is like, hey, where is your crutch? What's happened to you? So she's witnessing this whole interaction of this lady that's been completely healed and experiencing the goodness of God. We're at a village, one of the villages that we were doing manual labor in, where we dug this toilet. And it's such an experience being in Kenya. It's like the Bible brought to life. You see real life shepherds. As we're driving on the highway, there's just kids walking around with, you know, sticks, giving the sheep and the goats a quick whack, you know, keeping them in line and going where they should be. So instead of people crossing the road, there's just like herds of goats and sheep with little shepherds following them in the middle of nowhere. And so we're in this village, we're digging this hole, it's so hot. The white people on the team are getting like sunburnt like no tomorrow. They're trying to find shade under these really skinny trees that have really thin leaves and giant thorns. And because, you know, we're they call them muzungus, the white people there, we're the attraction. So some of them have gone to rest from sunburn, but, you know, people gather around them. And so continuing to dig and people wondering what's happening. Why are these white people digging this hole? And so, you know, as we're there, part of it was to be the hands and feet of Jesus and not just come like, hey, we do have the message of salvation, but we're here to build with you. We're here to help out practically as well, wherever you need. And one of the people in the village was so impacted by seeing us in unity as a team. He asked, who is this Jesus that I heard you mention? Like, tell me about him. So he receives the Lord then and there. And then when we did a village crusade later that evening, and I mean by village crusade, you know, probably 30 to 50 people, because the houses are like hundreds of meters apart and a village is like really spread apart. It's not always house to house. And so when all the people had gathered, healings took place. You know, the gospel was preached. People came to know the Lord. There was a lady who got attacked by a lion and had back pain. She got healed. And that man was so impacted by the gospel and also the love that he saw in the context of the team and family that he wanted to give his whole village a charge. And I was like, tell me what you're going to say first, just in case it's like, because there is a lot of like spiritism and witchcraft and different things. And sometimes they might see one thing and think it's another thing. And he gives them his village a charge, freshly born again. That's when I knew the gospel took root. He met Jesus because he gave his village a charge and said, hey, you know, this unity that we have seen amongst these people, don't let it be that we have to wait for foreigners to come in to display what unity looks like amongst the village, but let us rise up and take this as an example to come together as a village to help each other out and to build together. That day as well, we also prayed over a literal madman who, when we went to the village, they did tell us, beware of this man who was in this little hut positioned outside of this village. And his hut compared to the others was really small. And that's probably because he built it probably by himself with no help because of his deeds. He had burnt down the houses of two other villagers and one being his mum. And so the little hut probably had enough room for him to just sit in here like this, so small. And so we circled around this hut and we just began to pray. Can you imagine in the heat of the day, we're around this tiny hut, this team of 10 with their hands out, Roku Sundurume, in the name of Jesus, we're declaring freedom, restoration over him. And one of the team members on the other side is saying, hey, do you reckon this man, should we ask him to come out? I was thinking, I don't know that I want to kind of poke my hand or head in there. I'm not really sure what will happen. But he actually came out. He crawled out of his own accord as we were praying. And he just stood there in perfect peace. We're able to share the gospel with him and pray for peace over his mind and deliverance. And upon his mum seeing this, she comes over and says, I forgive you, son. Like, I forgive you. Like you are welcome. You are welcome. That, you know, the past doesn't hold you. And so there was a whole family restoration that took place, you know, as sanity returned to this madman. It was incredible. Multiple times we got to preach and teach in schools from 150 to 4,000 people. We saw deliverances take place in public schools. We saw people fall out in the spirit, just construction workers. On one school that we were visiting, someone was praying for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and this construction worker just fell out in their vest, and everyone freaked out. They just like jumped on either side, and they wouldn't come near the person that prayed for her until later, until we got to minister to them. But incredible things taking place there. So just wanted to encourage you guys. Thank you for prayers and support. And the Lord has opened the door in Kenya and to that region. Much to share on another time. But I'm just going to touch base on some scriptures or maybe a theological framework of what it looks like to move in the gifts of the Spirit. How from Scripture we are commanded, we are empowered to move with the Holy Spirit. And as you saw this morning, could you imagine that we didn't have a grounding or understanding for the gift of prophecy or the ministry of all saints, that every believer, every son and daughter has been empowered, commissioned to hear from God? Because the Scripture says in Acts 2:17, you know, as the Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh, upon all sons and daughters, and they will prophesy, that you will have dreams and visions. That's upon every believer. And that's the privilege that we get as we come together as a body and minister to each other. And you know, a theological framework as to why we are commissioned and empowered to move in the Spirit is important. And I want to share with you firstly some scriptures that there are different camps in Christianity. Some camps draw the line on salvation, being where does it start and where does it end? There are some denominations that debate over these two things. Or how far can you go before are you the Lord's, aren't you the Lord's, and when are you the Lord's? So there's camps that distinguish themselves with that doctrine. There are other camps that distinguish themselves with, well, the gifts of the Spirit. Are they here? Are they for today? And then how do they operate? There are camps entirely based divisions on these principles. There are some camps that also believe, maybe the term would be a cessationist, where we believe that the miracles, signs, and wonders, I'm just explaining to you a thought process, that they were for that day because they didn't have the entirety of the canon of Scripture. The Bible wasn't put together in its entirety. So the apostles, the early disciples, everyone who ministered that we have in the Word of God in mighty signs and wonders and the Scriptures would see empowering people were only for the founding and the establishing of the church because they didn't have the medicine that we have or the facilities and provision. So it was necessary for the Lord to display His kindness in power in a season so the church would be established. And then when the church comes and then the canon of Scripture is brought together and we have the complete teaching of the Word of Christ, then we can do away with miracles. We can, you know, that season stops. It was only for that. And there are some scriptures around it because I just want to share so you have a framework of when you are discipling someone or if you come to someone that's like, yeah, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit does that today. I don't believe it's possible for all of us to prophesy. I don't believe laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed is authority given to every believer. You know, one scripture, Ephesians 2:20, it says, having being built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So they believe when the 12 apostles came, the apostles of the Lamb, those who saw him face to face, those who are mentioned in the book of Revelation, that once they came and those apostles and the prophets that were with them and they laid a foundation for the church, that was it. after them the foundations were laid, no miracles. Another scripture is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, God spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many ways, and in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through him who the world is made. So the understanding is that because Christ came, because we have the Word of God, that he spoke once and for all, and that it isn't necessary to share an utterance by the Spirit or prophetic word, because all that which needed to be laid as a foundation was done. Another scripture used, 1 Corinthians 13, 9 to 13, it says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. So that's taken to believe the partial is the gifts of the Spirit, the moving and the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And when the perfect has come, being the entire canon of Scripture, then you don't need miracles. The everyday believer doesn't need to live a life that demonstrates not only the Holy Spirit within, but the Holy Spirit upon, because we have the complete canon of Scripture. In Jude 3, it says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to appeal to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to all saints. So there is this mindset that it was for the early church and it isn't for us. And some of you hearing this, you think, well, I'm not a cessationist. I believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in his power that is operational today. I believe that all authority on heaven and earth was given to Christ, and then he commissioned us to go and make disciples, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, drink deadly things and not be poisoned, commissioned to go to other lands, to establish churches, to build families. But you know, sometimes, even as believers that move in the Spirit, believe in not just the Spirit within, but the Spirit upon to demonstrate power, we can slip into this thought of cessationism, where through discouragement, you know, a merry heart makes good like medicine, but a sorrowful spirit dries up the bones. You know, sometimes with disappointment, sometimes praying, you know, contending for a miracle, our hearts become disappointed, and we can move into this place of negating the necessity and the power of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, in John chapter 9, I give you an example. You know, this is the common thoughts that people have when it comes to moving in the Spirit. The disciples are seeing a man born blind, and the question is, who sinned, this man or his parents, that this thing has come upon him? And Jesus said, neither, but this moment is taking place for the glory of God. See, the rationality of man is to look for a place, the origin of where a sickness or where something has come upon someone. But the heart of Jesus isn't to look at what was done in the past, but was to address what was currently in front of him. He didn't go through the nature of sin and that it was from Adam. He said, I am here today, I am present, and I am able to do something. Amen. We see, you know, with the gifts of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware concerning spiritual things. He's actually talking about the spiritual realm. And then he goes through that chapter detailing gifts of the Spirit. To one, this is given. To another, that is given. To another, that is given as the Spirit wills. Bear with me, I'm going to build a picture. So that's 1 Corinthians 12:1. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, there's that verse that sometimes people can, even believers, hold to, where it says, you know, when the perfect has come, the partial will be done away with. To say that we have the canon of Scripture, we don't need prophecy. We don't need believers hungering to move in the gifts of the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12:1, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be unaware. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, in how actually the gifts of the Spirit operate, through what Spirit they want meant to operate and to what purpose they're meant to serve. At the end of that chapter, you have, when the perfect has come, the partial will be done away with. At the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14, straight after this, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So to actually remove the responsibility of the believer to move in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to do away with a lot of scripture. You're going to have to do away from, you know, Acts 6 and 7, where Stephen is commissioned, where he saw healings, where he was appointed, where Philip in Acts chapter 8 is, you know, taken to see, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch. He's translocated. You're going to have to take away in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit is poured out and signs and wonders are done and the gospel is preached and many come to the Lord. You're going to have to take out Acts 11 and 21 where Agabus prophesies and he foretells of things to come. You're going to have to take out in, is it Acts 11 where Philip has four daughters who are prophetesses? You're going to have to take out Paul's declaration where he said in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 to 5, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And Paul was a well-learned man, but he knew it is necessary for each and every believer to take up the mandate to learn to move in the Holy Spirit, to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is also the man that told Timothy, he says, be diligent to approve yourself as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but accurately handling the word of truth. So be a student of the word, love and know the word, because the Lord speaks to you, instructs you. Your foundation is the word. But Paul also instructs, you know, Timothy in another place in 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 7. He says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. He tells him in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you that was given through prophetic utterance. In Romans chapter 1, he says, I long to come to you so that I may impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. There's another set of believers in Acts where they were only heard about the baptism of John. And they were taught by Priscilla and Aquila a more excellent way, that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see in John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, Jesus, after he was resurrected, breathed upon his disciples. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he says to them in Acts 1, do not depart unless you have been clothed with the Spirit for power, and then you will go out to these places and to the ends of the earth. It is essential as a New Testament church that we set our eyes not on just the flesh, because it's easy. You know, it, and I know how we get there. Who has ever prayed for someone and not seen them healed? Anyone? Okay, cool. Who has ever given a prophetic word to someone and got it wrong? Who has ever stood on a scripture and declared something, fasted and prayed, and not seen the breakthrough? The person passed away or something happened. Okay, cool. Enough of us have a testimony of it not happening. We know that there is a tension that we live in. There is this walk that we're in where it's relationally based, where sometimes we don't experience the breakthrough or the miracle we're looking for. But what do we do in that place? What do we do in that place when actually we don't see the miracle that comes through? You know what would happen? If I had that theological understanding, right? And the miracles don't just happen in Kenya. It just happened to be where I was, and the lady was with the crutch there, right? Let's say I have a foundation that if God wills for it to happen, and I have a higher value of on sovereignty through my understanding, through a higher value of sovereignty that exceeds the believer's responsibility to demonstrate power and authority, I would have prayed once and then left thinking, well, if God wills it, because he's sovereign, because he knows everything, because he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he'll bring it to pass. I would have left, and that lady more than likely would have seen no healing. Because why was it praying five times? I don't know what was happening in the spirit. Was our faith rising? Was her faith rising? I just know it was appointed for us for that day. And I know sometimes as believers, we give up way too soon because we have a theological framework or testimonies of the agony of defeat. The times where we've stepped out in faith, mustered up courage and went for it and come out dry. And it's a wrestle. That's why the Holy Spirit is comforter. If you never had something for your heart to look at a situation and wonder where the risen, where the ascended, where the all-powerful Christ is, how would he comfort you in this dispensation that we're in? Where would the comfort come from? But he is appointed. Jesus said, it's better that I go, that he comes. You know, he is in you to teach you. 1 John 2:27. He is upon you to break yokes, Isaiah 10:27. He is also upon you for the demonstration of power in Acts 1:8. He works in, through, upon, all in all. I'm gonna aim to land. You know, in Ephesians 1:19-23, it says that the Holy Spirit's work of raising the Christ from the dead was the mightiest display of power in human history. Think about this, the power, the dunamis of God to bring resurrection, to bring freedom for all humanity contained in one act through one man surrendered to God, brought freedom to all humanity. And Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the power of the Spirit. So think about this. The power of the Godhead is living inside of you, right? In Romans 5, it says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, that we know that we're sons and daughters. That power is the same power in Romans 8:11 that courses through your mortal body. In Ephesians 1, it says it was the mightiest act of Christ, of God, of raising of the Christ from the dead. Now can you see when Jesus, in the Gospels, you remember there's a time where the disciples are forbidding him, saying, hey, these little kids, trying to stop them from coming to Jesus. And he says, don't forbid them. Then it says, he laid hands on them and he blessed them. You know this thing of laying hands? It's not always needed, but picture this. If the power of the Godhead is inside of you, it's looking for a connection point. So you can lay hands on someone, see the sick healed. You can lay hands on someone and bless someone. Like Paul to Timothy, you can lay hands on someone and impart something that's on your life into their life. And you know, the question is like in Romans 12, it's like to some he's appointed this, or in 1 Corinthians 12 as well, it says, to some he's appointed this, to some he's appointed that as he wills. And sometimes we look as he wills, like, well, God is sovereign. If he wants it for me, he'll give it to me. I give you an example. Josiah, can I borrow you for a second? I want to give you a gift. I just want to give you this phone. That's yours. Yours to keep. Can you just open that and just start using it quickly? Oh, that's weird. No, but it's yours. It's a gift. Ah, you need a passcode. So do you need to chat to me to get the passcode? Amazing. But isn't that weird? It's a gift. Sometimes we see gifts and we're like, wow, if I don't have it and I've asked for it, then, oh, God in his sovereignty, it says, as he wills, he would have given it to me. If it was to see that person healed that was sick, it would have happened the first time. No, it's a gift. It's yours, but it requires relationship. You grow in the grace. I think sometimes we discredit ourselves as the body of Christ because we think we prayed for it once. We went up for an impartation out of hunger once. Then we thought, or as the Spirit wills. If the Spirit was willing, well, he's given me that gift. It's going to operate flawlessly straight off the go. Then we prove it in the human dimension. You can give a gift to someone, but it actually requires relationship to understand, to use it, to unlock it. And you grow in it. Like any gift, you have to read the instructional manual unless you've used it before, and that means you've learned before. We shortchange ourselves because we think effort is unholy, demonic, or striving. But hunger in the kingdom is a necessity to attaining the more of God. He literally says to the Corinthians, after explaining in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, after saying what you know, how the Spirit operates, and even the chapter before, he says, as he wills. So the people he said to, as he wills, he tells them to hunger. He tells them to pursue. He said to one, he's given the spirit of prophecy. Then he goes and says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Church, don't shortchange yourself. How do you know the gift or the calling that is in you? Unless you actually start to operate in it in a body of believers, get feedback and encourage each other. In 1 Corinthians 14, I believe in 23, it says, you know, let a prophet speak and let two or three others judge. What for? Because the old covenant understanding of prophecy in Deuteronomy 18, it says, if a prophet speaks falsely and his words don't come to pass, he's a false prophet. Stone him. Done. Matters closed. You speak in the name of the Lord and you're off, you're done. You're a false prophet. So why in the new covenant are they saying to judge prophecies? Why should one speak and two or three others judge? Not done in the old covenant, because he would have just been judged by the Lord. He just would have been judged by the accuracy of his word. But in the new covenant, it's brought into the context of community, because we all have the Spirit of God. We are all able to prophesy because it's been poured out. There's been a change in the covenants. You gotta get this. There's been a change in the covenants. You see, if we don't get this, we'll go from week to week and we rock up to a believer's gathering. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning, and we'll rock up just to drink. Just like, oh Lord, I need a fresh touch. And that's amazing. He'll meet you there. But there's more to your life. Because when you start operating, not only with the Spirit, but allowing him to operate through you through the gifts of the Spirit and to minister, you'll see people edified, your workplace change, you'll see migraines leave, you'll see people heal, you'll see destiny proclaimed over people, and you'll turn up not just to have a drink, but actually to share a drink with others around you. I have refreshment. I have a testimony. I've seen the goodness of God this week. And it's sometimes why life becomes so hard, because we were created for the front lines, but we live in the back. And we come and hear messages about forward movement, taking territory, activating the gifts of the Spirit. And it's so far disconnected from us at times. I'm preaching to myself as well. It's so far disconnected because we've taken ourselves out of the battle. We've taken ourselves out of the place that God has called us to. We've taken ourselves out of our grace zone. Then we face things that we weren't called to face. And we wonder why we're so dry. We wonder why when we hear about teachings of the Spirit, it just feels like Harry Potter or something. It's like, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. That was interesting. I wonder if they healed. Did that word work? Did they check their Facebook? How did that happen? And it's all these things. And yes, people do it and they do get caught out. It's just fallen nature and sin. Where there's people is going to be sin and this fallen nature. But we don't discredit it. I want to charge you guys. I want to commission you guys to lean into His voice. If you're in a corporate setting, if you're in a teaching, He speaks. The other day I was in a teaching session and my mind wandered and I wrote down a few words, and then lo and behold, I ended up at McDonald's, where one of my favorite burgers, the double quarter pounder, extra onions, extra pickles, and it's just enjoying this. And I saw the man with the white hat, and I had written down he has a brother and his name is Matt. So I went up to him, I showed him my note. I said, hey, it's maybe a little weird. You have a brother, his name is Matt. I wrote Matt or Jamie. So I took a risk. I was like, these two names. And he's like, yeah, I have a brother called Matt and his sister has cancer, like terminal cancer. So I was able to share with him how I actually got that word and pray for him. And no, I didn't see salvation there, but one sows, another waters, and God brings the increase. You don't have to strive every moment. Just be obedient to what He's given you. So let us all stand. You can come and rebuke me after for the extra few minutes that I unfortunately obtained without your permission. But you know, God is taking us into a new season in Australia. Let me tell you. And I mean, every day is new in the Lord. His mercies are new, and we're always transitioning, right? When we say we're transitioning, we are from glory to glory every day, from faith to faith, from old to new in mindset. But let me tell you, He's doing something mighty. And it's not just for the clergy. It's not just for the ordained ministers or the leaders or those that come up. It's the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. Ours just looks different. We're here as a team, as a family, to manifest the goodness and the glory of God wherever the sole of our foot treads. You know, over Australia, we're going to have awakening later this year. We've had the pre-rally in the building. You know, lives are going to be changed. You know how many people I met in Kenya? But sometimes you think with your missions, you go afar and you're just like, oh, I'm this person coming from another country to just tell these people something, and what are they going to think of me? I was actually shocked at how many of them, their lives were changed, that they came out of poverty into prosperity as a family. Their kids are getting educated because 30 years ago, missionaries came and they shared the gospel. And some of them said, some missionaries shared it in a harsh way, but it didn't matter. Like God worked through it. Some of them shared different doctrines that they had worked through that maybe weren't entirely right, but the seed was planted. You don't know what sharing the gospel or moving in the Spirit will do to a life. You know, over there, sometimes the distinction between a kid getting an education and just being left in a village is like $15 uniform. Because without a uniform there, you can't go to school. So there were kids just running around out of school. They had no money for their uniform and their books. Literally, if they had 15 or 30 US dollars, they'd be getting an education. But because people in, whether it was from other parts of Africa or countries, paid a large fare. You know, I think mine in total going over was close to $7,000, maybe over. All the trip and everything it included. But the impact is generational. Your sacrifice, your yes to the Lord on this side, you don't know what's on the other side of that. There's literally families and lineages change. I met people that were actually in college, had graduated from college, come back to serve, and their families were impacted by a missionary who shared the good news, the gospel of salvation, and their life was forever changed. So I want to ask, as Leo mentioned before, if there's anyone in this place, and we're not going to close our eyes, we're not going to bow our heads, because it's a courageous decision. It's one of the boldest ones you ever make. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, not your life to a church, not your life to a doctrine, not your life to a feel-good moment, if you've been living for yourself but crying out for more, knowing that there's something else but you didn't know what it was, hungering, knowing that you were created for more, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is alive today. So if you haven't received him and you're ready to make a commitment to Jesus, the author and the creator of your life, please come forward now. We'd love to pray for you and celebrate you if there's anyone. And the second charge is, I want to commission some people. And don't let this be hype. If you feel like in your walk with God that you've stopped dreaming, stopped looking for the goodness of God in your daily life, stop dreaming for what countries to go to serve, to share the gospel, where to be his hands and feet, or if it's in your marketplace. If you've been offended by whether it's church matters or just anything in life where it's taken your attention other than Jesus, I want you to come forward. There's a fresh commissioning. Not because I'm saying it, but because there's a biblical precedent when hands are laid in faith that there is an impartation, where something is declared that there is a commissioning. So if you've left dreaming aside, if you've become a bit stale in your walk, if you want a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit, please come forth. We want to pray for you. And we believe that today, as the Lord is here, that he would do something in your life, that your life would never be the same again. And don't wait for after the service. Don't wait for after the service. If you're hearing this, it's here and now. Like, learn in a family of believers to respond quickly. Don't come for the prophetic word later or the prayer later because you're thinking, oh, I'm a mature Christian. If I come forward, they're watching. Who cares? Just come. You live before the Lord. I feel like there's two more people. If your heart is racing, you know you're called for missions, please come. I do believe that this will be significant for you. We're believing that there's going to be a commissioning and a fresh outpouring. If it's you, doesn't have to be everyone, if it is everyone, but if you're hungry, come. If your heart's beating and you're wrestling with fear, come, because it's not me, it's the Lord calling you. I can't manipulate your heart rhythm or what you're experiencing on the inside as he's speaking to you. I'm just going to wait one more second. If that's you, if you know there's a call for them all, you want to be commissioned into a fresh season, come now. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to ask, like, this is not just to an altar call you're coming. Do business with the Lord now. We're going to have the ministry team, those who are available, to come and line up on the front and pray for people. But this can just be another moment. We do calls all the time. But do business with God. He's the one who hears you. He's the faithful one. And if you ask him something, he's not going to hide away from you. He's going to give you your desire. Let him meet you. It's not man or woman that will meet you. It's God. Do business with him in your heart. If you need to repent from apathy, from complacency, just repent. There's nothing wrong with saying, like, Lord, I've kind of missed it here. There's been times that you've called me to step out and I haven't. And now kind of my heart has become a little dry and dull. Do business with him. Repent. Repent so you can receive. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus right now for a fresh outpouring upon every son and daughter that has come forward and responded. Lord, that you would fill them mightily with your Spirit, that you would commission them into a new season, that the old would be done away with and that the new would come. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the GGC Life podcast. We hope you feel encouraged. Be blessed.